And now for something completely different.
It's a Rich Bass World. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story. Real talk about money, markets, life. Now, it's The Real Investment Show, presented by RIA Advisors.
And good morning. Welcome to The Real Investment Show, Financial Fitness Friday. I'm Rich Rosso, CFP, Danny Ratliff, CFP, CFP Squared. We're so glad you're here. I haven't had enough infrastructure this morning. That's my word for coffee. And with a side of infrastructure, donuts.
We know better than that.
I'm just calling everything infrastructure for the next couple of weeks.
It's a very taxing process. Hey, thank you.
Well, another day in the market. Looks like it's going to be a pretty calm one. We're just going to be here at the opening. We're really right at the entrance to earnings season. So there's going to be a lot of anticipation of incredible recovery corporations based on this run-up we've had in the market so far as we hit new highs. So the S&P futures are relatively flat, about five points. Dow futures implied 76 points. 10 years at 1.66, 1.67. So we're just chugging along here, Danny, waiting for earnings season and seeing where we're going to go. Obviously, the Fed had some encouraging words yesterday about we don't care about inflation, no big deal. We're not going to do anything anytime soon to raise rates, so let's keep the stimulus going. So, hey, it's like it's like a little bit of a honeymoon. You know, J.P. Morgan called it what? The Goldilocks. That word gets overused. Yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah.
But I'm calling it the honeymoon stage of everything's coming back. People are out there. I'll tell you, restaurants are busy. I drove around Saturday, couldn't believe parking lots.
Really.
Just crowded. People want to get out. So I expect to see this, hey, I'm glad to get out. Life is sort of getting back to normal. You want to really build up immunity, go touch the rubber balls at Chuck E. Cheese. They never clean them. And, things are good. I got to throw something into Danny so he gets going.
Say. I was actually at Chuck E. Cheese last week.
I knew you were there. And that's why you have such great immunity.
Something like that. But there is no ball pit. I'm disappointed.
No ball pit?
No.
You know why? Because they can't clean those balls.
But you know what they do now? They rent it out to families. So if somebody had a birthday party? No, the whole place.
They rent the whole place out.
They did. It's an 8 a.m. birthday party.
Did it look? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you dress as Chuck E. Cheese and walk around?
I did not. No. I'll leave that up to you.
I would do that. I'd be so much fun. Do they still have the animated kind of things going on there, or they don't?
Chucky came in via Zoom, so it was a little bit different.
Yeah, Chucky on Zoom.
It was a tad different.
He came out of his mouse hole.
Yeah.
Hi, kids. Don't touch each other. Bye. And then he goes back into his hole.
Man, there's not enough Clorox in that place. I'm telling you.
I always wondered how they were cleaning the balls in that ball thing. So no, I'm just glad it's gone.
Yeah,
I'm very glad.
It's much changed now. Granted, I have not been in there for probably over 35 years, so everything seemed much smaller. It's weird, but
I don't think their business has not. For some reason, I always get this feeling their business doesn't do that well. I don't know why. Like, maybe because some of the games were sort of dated when Haley was little, right? And then she'd be crawling above me in that thing. I was like, who comes here? Listen. Life's a ball.
Well, the
life's a ball when it comes to the market. Yeah.
Yeah. And the sentiment that you're describing, it's very real. And I think that's one thing that it's easy to discount, that people are feeling better. They're getting back out. I'm talking to people daily who, they've not came out of their house for a long time. And now all of a sudden they're making big changes, saying, we are going out to eat now. We are going to do things and see our friends.
Right.
And granted, maybe it's not the same capacity that it once was, but that we are seeing some changes.
I think a lot of and we're in Texas, and I think people had it a long time ago, but people have really had it. So they're out there. They're trying to normalize things. But I think Powell said it, and I paraphrase a little bit from yesterday. But Powell was saying, trends are going to change. How people work is going to change. That something we always mention to you on the show, that we try to watch how these changes are going to happen. what normal, and he even used sort of what normal might look like, because it's going to be a little bit different. There are some trends that I hope that maybe that or habits you picked up during the pandemic that maybe you can continue when it comes to good fiscal habits. Maybe there were some things that you did to save more money or eat home more. But I just think right now we're in this stage where I want to do stuff.
Yeah.
I want to be out of the house. I mean, even Memorial Mall, you know, I don't even think people go to the mall anymore. I mean, every parking spot by Macy's last Saturday, full. I mean, I'm just seeing people just want to get out, even if it's walk in the mall. And
I think you'll see more of that. You'll see more of travel. I think people are, there's some pent up demand there. Yes. That people just, they're tired of being cooped up. They're ready to get out. They're ready to go see things again.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's a great thing. And so, you know, I think this is one of those.
It's good. I think it's great that people want to do that. But then we have to figure out what that next, after the honeymoon stage, because the animal spirits are very strong. So you combine animal spirits with, you know, monetary stimulus that will continue. Rates can't go too far too fast because, again, everybody is benchmarked to them. One of the things that I think will happen, especially if we do get tax hikes, is the fact that wages aren't going to be really going up. If anything, companies are going to continue to cut people and continue to embrace technology. So what you've noticed about, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks with these rallies, we were doing this Dow Day versus NASDAQ Day. Mm-hmm. Now it's almost like a Dow and NASDAQ Day, like it's broader. So technology is now participating again, and this is a much broader scope of a rally. But I will tell you, there's a lot of perfection priced in. There's a lot of euphoria priced in. The animal spirits of this honeymoon stage, you know, it's all in this soup. And in the short term, it's very emotional. And it's very easy to get wrapped up into the euphoria. I talked to a client yesterday. He says that he was talking to a young man who said he was just starting to invest. And he wanted to show my client his portfolio. Because the client's very good with money. He is just great saver. And he had $23,000 saved, this young kid, all on a penny stock. Wow. All in an AI stock, artificial intelligence. You know, did you do any homework? He asked him. Did you check out this company? No. You know, I just heard about it. So, you know, again, the stories, the narratives are very, very strong. These message boards that don't really share a lot of data. And then people touch investments and they go up and they think that they have the best. Oh my gosh, I'm really great at this and this is going to be my life. You know, eventually there's going to be some form of reset here, whether it means the Fed's going to pull back or earnings are way ahead of where demand is going to be longer term. Shorter term, I absolutely agree you're going to have some pent-up demand. Longer term, with all the debt we've taken on, where wage growth might trend, tax hikes and all the other things we're looking at, we're looking at some formidable headwinds. I know Jamie Dimon was saying that we're going to be in this next Goldilocks stage because of infrastructure. And that's just, I think, his version of, guys, everybody, we're getting a lot of fiscal stimulus on top of the monetary stimulus. So, you know, if the government is spending all this money, it's going to...
Well, this can go on for much longer than most people can anticipate. And, you know, I had a conversation yesterday and said, well, this seems to be, we're hitting highs. Are we at the end? And, you know, we could have said this years ago, but yet here we are continuously down the road, more fiscal policy, more monetary policy. It looks like there is no end in sight, as you mentioned, with the Fed continuing to pump. But at some point, like you mentioned, they will pull back. And that will be interesting to see what happens with markets at that point. But so you're listening to The Real Investment Show. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Get daily investment news you can use. Delivered at the speed of the internet at realinvestmentadvice.com.
Spring has sprung, fall has fell, summer's coming, and you'd be well served to join us for our financial spring cleaning edition of Candid Coffee, Saturday, April 10th. We'll help you sweep away the financial clutter getting in the way of your goals and prepare you for the dog days of summer with budgeting and portfolio tips from Richard Rosso and Danny Ratliff. Register now at realinvestmentadvice.com for Candid Coffee with Ratliff and Rosso. Realinvestmentadvice.com.
The Real Investment Show.
Welcome back. So, Brent, you watching anything interesting? Any shows? I just started, believe it or not, Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
Just starting to get it because everybody's telling me because I'm a big, huge, tremendous Longmire fan.
Yeah.
The books and everything else. Yeah. Craig Johnson sent me a great book because I sent him a copy of the Rifleman script, and he wrote me a note back with the, you know, how inspired I was by Longmire.
Yeah.
So, but it was, you know, so I hear Yellowstone is great. So I'm just starting that. I'm real late in it.
Very good.
But I don't have any interest in some of this Queen stuff and family.
I'm about to watch the Yard Channel.
The Yard Channel?
Yeah, I've got to replace all my stuff. I was watching your event with Randy Lemon, which, by the way, is on the YouTube channel, folks. You can watch it.
You know what? If you haven't tuned into that, there's a lot
it's
of great
information. Very good.
Isn't it that Randy provides some great information about how to revive everything? Mm-hmm. And based on the steps I've taken with Randy, you know, my lawn is looks great.
Well, mine's not, so I'm going to get back to my roots.
As Randy would say, it's all in the soil.
That's right.
You have... Your soil is spoiled.
Yes.
It's like pet cemetery. No. Like a pet cemetery.
My soil is abused.
Thank you, Sophie.
No, Sophie has nothing to do with it.
She's been fertilizing it. Yeah. Nothing to do with it. So, yeah, you know what? There's still something cathartic about working out in the garden. And I think that's maybe one of the trends we continue to see is people continuing to, obviously, people can't move. Because there's the inventory of homes, there's a dearth of inventory. I think people are sort of sticking around where they are, and they're still going into the home improvement phase. If you look at some of the home improvement stocks, they've been on a tear. So, I still think that may be one of those habits, Danny, that people continue to take on is working in the garden until it's blazingly hot. So, Alan Limey is one of the best weather prognosticators out there. Alan's been on our show a couple of times, but Alan is saying we're going to get a little bit cooler, but then I dread his summer forecast, which is like hell will be about 100 degrees cooler than Texas.
Fire and brimstone.
This summer is going to be this year.
Yeah.
And Brent's like, bring it on, baby.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I love it.
Jeez. You know, it keeps his skin, he's no wrinkles. That's why.
I have gill slits.
Dang. So, again, you got to look at this. And this is part of something I wrote in the Post-Pandemic Retirement Survival Guide on the blog, which is just part one. And part of what I'm trying to help people understand is that you have to look at retirement through a new lens. Because when you get a lot of studies out there, it looks like more retirees are looking at no retirement. Because of what's happened during COVID. So due to the personal financial setbacks, there are more retirees than ever that are saying never to retire. And I never heard that before. But after the financial crisis and now this, you are seeing retirement insecurity at levels we haven't really experienced before. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to delay retirement. This is from Pew Research. And also that people have already continue to work. You know, Danny, this is the kind of stuff we talk about at our Retirement Right Lane classes, which hopefully eventually we're going to be able to do like we did before around town, out in Austin, which is great. We get personal engagement, great questions from everybody. But when you're on that right lane and you're ready to exit, this pandemic was just enough to maybe get you back on the freeway where you're going to have to continue to work. So there is delay because of job loss, because of the outbreak. And when people lose jobs or they can't save for a while, it's not like a corporation that can come back so quickly. Households can take decades, if ever, to come back. So the household resiliency, financial resiliency is very different. So you have to be open to looking at things maybe through a different lens pragmatically because no retirement's perfect, right? So one article that really ticked me off was by Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey does this to me once in a while, right? He writes an article why a 401k, well, I don't know who wrote it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff missing from it. It's somewhat tone deaf. to me, and it talks about, again, 401k is better than a pension. There's a lot of incomplete information. So some with either limited knowledge or study of retirement trends sort of cobbled this together, right? So he puts in there that the average rate of return for a 401k is 12%. I have no idea how these numbers are derived, but I'm going to assume he's looking at an all-equity portfolio. Now, we talk about this all the time, Danny. I have an all-equity portfolio, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think really could stomach emotionally, long-term, short-term, an all-equity portfolio?
5 to 10%.
Yeah, right? Small amount, yeah. Right? And then even such, how many are going to earn 12% annually? Or say that markets earn 12% annually. So in this article, I've got this great graph from Lance that shows you what your actual return gap is. Like, in other words, markets don't average 12% a year for as long as this is stating. No. 401k is better because markets last, 12% a year. Well, most retirement really lies in this graph in Lance's orange zone, which is sort of like between Dave Ramsey's fantasy and actual portfolio reality. So if unless you're Spock on the Enterprise, you have no emotion and you can sort of ride it out, and you're plus an above average investor, I don't know. This 12% number he's putting out there for your 401k seems disingenuous to me.
Well, I think there's a handful of problems with this article. Number one being that, we talk to people every day about their portfolios, about 401ks, about where to invest.
For decades. Right?
And I have somebody this week, for instance, I had somebody say, well, Danny, hey, what about these top mutual funds that are in the paper? They're all up, 10, 11, 12%. Over the last 10 years. Well, guess what? You couldn't even find their fun fact sheet 3 years ago because it included 2008 and those returns were so dismal. And now, since that's disappeared, everybody's popped back out with all this new information. And it's changed people's perspective because we forget how this looked just several years ago. Another thing that this article fails to mention is a pension plan is contributed to by the employer.
They say that's a negative.
Well,
sort of.
Because it's an employer.
Because you can't touch it. Like, in other words, you're such an investment maven. You're so great on doing this on your own that you can't, you should be taking it over. Plus, your pension can go out of business. Now, that's valid.
Yep.
You have to look at the viability.
But most places have both. If they have a pension. Now, it's very few and far between this day and age.
But
if you have a pension, I can almost guarantee you have a 401k. There's not many options, many times, that you see somebody has just a pension and no 401k plan.
Absolutely.
So guess what? You're getting the best of both worlds because you have a company that's putting funds aside for you and you can contribute to your 401k.
I am sure people who listen to this show are fiscally responsible, would save their money, not leak into their retirement accounts to buy cars and boats. But I'm going to tell you, you're not the masses. You're in the top 1%, okay? That's the pension is where most people would like to be. Matter of fact, if you look at the National Institute on Retirement Security in a recent survey, Americans have a highly favorable view about pensions. And they see these plans as better than 401ks. 76% of Americans have a favorable view of defined benefit pensions. 75% say that all workers should have access to a pension plan to be independent and self-reliant. 65% agree that pensions are better than 401ks for providing retirement security. So to me, I think Dave's out of touch. I know he's a money celebrity. In all fairness, why would he understand the damage that has been done to retirement security due to the loss of pensions, even though there are reams and reams of studies that show how damaging it is? And listen, there are people, we meet with them all the time. They can indeed retire comfortably on stock and bond portfolios. Part of it is because they've been tremendous savers, debt managers, right? They've got a very strong fiscal backbone. How many people do you think in this country can say such a thing?
Not many.
Not many.
No.
So I hate to say this, but sometimes the pension is going to be your best friend. For some people, could they take that and say, no, I don't want to do it. You know, I'm going to do the best I can. I have all these rules and so forth. Sure. But I will tell you, even people that have done the greatest job with stock and bond portfolios, the maximization of Social Security, that lifetime income again, that pension enhances the lifestyle spending of even the best of savers. And we witness this all the time, right? I mean, people that are making it, once we even add Social Security, wow. It's like vitamin B100. Right? It's a bolster to even the people that have done a good job. Because why? I can go through cycles where my variable assets do not perform. And I think you are in the beginning of one of these cycles where you're going to get lower returns on your variable assets. Therefore, if I have some form of guaranteed income coming in, it would take the tremendous pressure off of your stocks and bonds to have to provide that income. Or guess what? You're going to have to curtail your lifestyle. I mean, it's as simple as that. So we're going to continue on this when we talk about, again, unless you're earning 12% a year on your investments. Yeah, and Brent has hair. We'll be right back here on The Real Investment Show.
Civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it settles in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication.
Listen anyplace, anytime
at realinvestmentadvice.com.
Spring has sprung, fall has fell, summer's coming, and you'd be well served to join us for our financial spring cleaning edition of Candid Coffee, Saturday, April 10th. We'll help you sweep away the financial clutter getting in the way of your goals and prepare you for the dog days of summer with budgeting and portfolio tips from Richard Rosso and Danny Ratliff. Register now at realinvestmentadvice.com for Candid Coffee with Ratliff and Rosso. realinvestmentadvice.com.
You're listening to The Real Investment Show.
All I know is for my retirement plan is to work at Bucky's. So come visit me. I'll be in the fudge department. And I'll be the happiest little fudge man you've ever seen. So in this Dave Ramsey article, and again, I have attached it in the piece I wrote, the article has a table, and it has one main difference between a 401k and a pension. This is true. It's very vague. Is the former creates an income until the money is gone versus your lifetime. Well, heck, I don't know. When it comes to retirement, I would rather have money that lives as long as I do. Lifetime versus until the money is gone sort of sums up the variability and unpredictability of a consistent stream of income from volatile assets like stocks and bonds. Unless you've been earning 12% a year, because then you want to reach out to Danny and I. If we can audit your returns, we're going to have you on the show. Maybe we can give you a job, nominate you for an award, whatever it is. So You might need to create your own pension. How many times do you find any people that have a pension? They can be young retirees.
Mm-hmm.
They can retire at 55 years old, right? Because they have this. Why are they able to do that? Because they're going to have this guaranteed income stream for the rest of their lives. And even if they have longevity risk, and people are living longer, and women outlive men. So this is even more important for women to understand the value of lifetime income. But the only way you know if you need to create a pension is if you have a plan. The only way you're going to know if you're going to run out of money is if you have a financial plan. A financial plan that's done with realistic numbers. Because the financial plan from most are going to show you that, yeah, you're going to earn 12% a year. You're going to earn 10, 12% in a balanced portfolio. Right? That's what you're going to make. Oh, shoot, I can retire like tomorrow. Without taking into account, one, market cycles. Long-term valuations matter. Short-term, you look like some guy that should be in a straitjacket when you talk about it. Valuations, who cares? Nobody cares right now. And that's okay, because there are points in time where stocks could be cheap and people still don't want them. Stocks are products. The product is in demand, and I'll pay whatever it is for it. Then there's a point in time where people go, I don't want it anymore. So markets move in cycles. Plans don't account for that very well, regardless of Monte Carlo or not. Where you're starting your Monte Carlo or your simulation goes from what kind of returns you're using for asset classes. If I'm revolving around 7 to 10% rate of return, I mean, that's paradise. So you got to have a plan that's done with realistic numbers to figure out, are my, one, maximization of Social Security and my variable assets, is that going to be enough? Or are we going to run out of money? If there's a chance we're going to run out of money, or this article writes something about, well, you know, if you have a pension, right, Danny? What happens? If you take your pension, then you die. Well, no money for your heirs. Okay, that's a valid point, but you brought up another point. I've got a pension usually and a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
I can take my pension, where if I do take my pension, I can be more aggressive and say that's all I need to live on. I can take that 401k or roll that into an IRA. And perhaps if I can be a little spockish and think about that this money is for my children and grandchildren, I can get more aggressive with those assets, because I'm not looking at them for my lifetime. I'm looking at them for multiple lifetimes. I can get more aggressive in my 401k and I will live off my pension. I have people that have done that.
Yep.
They take joint and survivor on the pension. Their IRAs over the last 20 years have grown wonderfully. Now, unfortunately, we have to do Roth because of the change to the non-spousal beneficiary, mm-hmm. right? Where non-spouse beneficiaries have to take money out in a shorter period of time,
correct.
Not their lifetime. But the point I'm trying to make is you could still have a legacy asset with a pension and a 401k, right? You can look at it in multiple ways, but the always comes back to having a plan to understand. Do I need to create my own pension? Well, if I'm sitting with a life insurance or an insurance salesman, oh yeah, yeah, you do. You need it. Yeah, you need this amount. This is where your money's going to go. Well, how the heck do you know? Unless I run a plan to figure out where I am and how much my lifestyle is going to be and expectations of healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. How the heck am I able to sell a product where you buy one to build a pension without knowing if you need it? And that's why annuities get such a bad rap, because they get sold to people. They don't get planned.
Well, you and I could walk in and in 15 years apart and get the same exact thing.
I know.
Oh, you need this. Of course you do. And you know,
and all your money should go in there.
Yeah.
And then I don't even understand how it works. Like, okay, now I got all this stuff attached with bells and whistles and man, this is complicated. Then I never hear from the person again.
Well, 9 out of 10 people don't understand how it works because it was sold, not explained or planned for. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest problem surrounding this. And look, going back to the pension talk, even it's, mm-hmm. these are things that, you know, not for everyone. Some people do need to take the pension. Some people do need to take the lump sum or prefer to. And so this is why it's so important to have that plan, though.
Uh-huh.
Because having that plan will help you dictate what's best for you and your family. And that is the crucial aspect of the plan. Sometimes It could be a toss-up. You could go either way, and the plan works both ways, and then it comes down to a level of comfort.
I just had a client where we did the break-even, mm-hmm. and it went one. It was pretty much your choice.
Yep.
Because of how well they saved, they're more important. Their expectations, their lifestyle is modest.
Yep.
So we looked at, well, hey, this is your choice, but actually we could do both. Mm-hmm. He decided to roll it over, but at least we ran the numbers, did a full plan to understand what's best for him. Does he have a legacy intent? Does he, you know, what does he think about this? What's his health look like? What does his wife's health look like? So much goes into a retirement income strategy. It's not just buying a product at all. So listen, I am a huge advocate for stock investing. I love it. I love individual companies. I love to do the research. I like listening to conference calls. I started at age 13. I never looked back. But that's part of an overall retirement income plan. Your stocks in the portfolio are designed to supplement a retirement income stream against inflation long term. It's not, doesn't have to be like an all or none situation. You just said it. For some, rolling over into an IRA is an optimum choice. For others, it's to take the pension to protect against longevity risk. And that's where the plan comes into play. The article to me was a bit tone deaf. And what it did was it just gave you this. I mean, it was very, being as elementary as it was, but it didn't give you the full story. It left a lot of stuff out. And that's what bothers me. And I personally think, you know, Dave Ramsey does a great job with debt management and all the stuff that he mm-hmm. does. He can do better with this stuff. He can do better. And when I read the article, I was actually just more disappointed than anything else.
Well, you look back and you say, okay, stock returns over the last, you know, almost 100 years have been 10 to 11%. Mm-hmm. But that's over a very long period of time. We look at many years where we had the lost decade where you were actually negative. It took you longer just to get back to even.
What if you retired during a cycle like that? But people
right.
don't think we're ever going to see a cycle like that again.
Correct.
That happens in cycles. When you're in a bull cycle, you think you're never going to see a bear cycle. When you're in a bear cycle, you think you're never going to see a bull cycle. That's our own emotional biases at work. But cycles change. And in your planning, you've got to take that into account, especially where your valuation starting points are. Because eventually valuations do weigh or are a headwind or a tailwind to stock returns. It doesn't happen 1 year or the next year. It could happen in 5 years. It could be just lower returns for an extended period. It doesn't have to be a big, you know, the Hindenburg cataclysmic crash thing. It could be just that, you know what? We're going to get lower returns as we go forward, especially when you look at Lance's estimates for GDP growth based on all the debt we've taken on, right? Right now, stocks are the only game in town. Bond rates start to normalize. You get 10-year treasury at 3.5, 3.6. You'd be able to pick up a corporate at 4.5. I will tell you, people will be looking at bonds again.
But we get the rates that high?
Well,
can they push inflation, right?
Right.
That's
we
the
don't
key.
Know. I mean, maybe it's 3, 4, 5 years from now, but in the meantime, you're just driving valuations of stocks higher.
Correct.
And you're thinking that you are bulletproof. You're like, what was that Travis Tritt song? 10 feet high and bulletproof? You know, like nothing can go wrong. Everything I touch goes up.
But going back to overall returns, if you get to 3.5% versus 1.6, we're going to have trouble in bonds. And so, you know, going back to the article saying we're going to get 12% or more returns in 401ks. Well, that's beating the averages and the indexes, which is typically what most people invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have that bond exposure, which would be detrimental in an environment where you see rates go up by 2%.
The number's silly.
Yeah.
We get back. We want to hit. We're going to continue on this action number two for retirement refresh here on The Real Investment Show. We'll be right back.
Listening.
listening to The Real Investment Show.
Spring has sprung, fall has fell, summer's coming, and you'd be well served to join us for our financial spring cleaning edition of Candid Coffee, Saturday, April 10th. We'll help you sweep away the financial clutter getting in the way of your goals and prepare you for the dog days of summer with budgeting and portfolio tips from Richard Rosso and Danny Ratliff. Register now at realinvestmentadvice.com for Candid Coffee with Ratliff and Rosso. Realinvestmentadvice.com.
The Real Investment Show.
Welcome back to The Real Investment Show. I'm Danny Ratliff here with Richard Rosso. Thanks for joining us this morning. So talking a little bit about spring cleaning, Richard wrote a great article here at realinvestmentadvice.com about some of the things that, we're seeing and how pandemic has changed life. And one of the things I think that is incredibly important to do at this time of year is to hit that mental refresh. You know, we talk about all the workers that have been polled, the different sentiment of people feeling, how those lines have been crossed from, you know, the lines of the 8-to-5 job. It's gotten pretty blurry where people are starting earlier, they're working later. You know, we always thought that we'd have this great work-life balance. And, you know, you and I've talked about this, how, man, it'd be so great to be able to work from anywhere or be in the mountains or be at the beach. And I've thought about it and I thought, man, this would be great, but I'd just be staring out a window. It'd probably be more frustrating than anything because we'd be sitting there working, not being able to do the things that you think you'd be able to do. And so
I'm going to attach a squirrel feeder to my computer.
Yeah.
Outside and just have them. Yeah. That's what I'm. I don't know what to do, but I. Yeah, exactly.
But so, this is also changing a lot of people in regard to working much longer, to rethinking how things are going to go. Because let's face this, you know, we're dealing with financial plans on a daily basis. We're helping people reconfigure where they think they're going. You know, plans have changed. People's lifestyles have changed. And, you know, we're finding that close to 70% say they'll retire later than expected. You know, 18% have changed when they plan to retire. 15% have considered a change. I mean, these are big numbers.
Yeah, and this is a retirement insecurity report from the NARS, National Institute of Retirement Security. These are, again, why we created the Retirement Right Lane class. You know, people, again, were attendees, they were forced to return to the highway of work and postpone retirement due to some adverse economic event, which is why we prepare these Right Lanes classes so you don't have this happen. And then what I don't want you to do, because I'm hearing it from people already, is I give up. You know, I give up. I'm not even going to bother to try. Well, you have to, because sooner or later, you're going to be forced to retire.
And then what?
Yeah. In other words, you might say, I'm not going to retire until I'm age 75 because I like to work. Well, that's great, because people are working longer. And part of it is because as they people live longer, they're sharper. They want to do things. They want to be viable. That's perfect. But you still need a plan to figure out, well, what's my exit look like? And just because maybe you have a setback doesn't mean you can't look at this through fresh eyes. Maybe because there are some of the habits you've done through the fiscal, through the whole pandemic, maybe that will help you reassess your lifestyle goals. Maybe your lifestyle doesn't need to be so lofty. Maybe you can trim down some of these goals, work a couple of years longer. In other words, this is a ball of clay. And the financial industry says, well, that should look like, your retirement should look like Michelangelo in clay. Mine looks like Homer Simpson. And that's okay, because you work it the way you work it based on your life. There is a retirement definition that's right for you, not an overall marketing number that Wall Street throws at you. There, I can show you people that have, you know, slow, you know, low six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great retirement.
Yeah.
And people that have 7-8 figures and they have a lousy retirement.
Well, it's like the number one question we get, or a very common one at least, is like, how much do I need to retire? And I tell everybody, look, I've told people with $500,000 or less that they can.
Yes.
I've told people with $5 to $10 million that they can't. because it's all about how much you spend and your lifestyle and what you're doing. You know, and a lot of times those smaller numbers too, is it, a lot of times they have a pension or they live well beneath their means and they still have a very active, fruitful life.
Right. They have no debt. They have done a good job maximizing Social Security, which is why Social Security is so important and more people are receptive to Social Security changes. Social Security has become the pension.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this magic number you think you need, and that is brainwashing from Wall Street marketing. And the only way you're going to make it, the only way you're going to make it in retirement, just a miracle, is through stock market product. That's it. That's your savings. That's the beacon on the hill. It's wrong. It's a bad message. It's the wrong message. And it will discourage you, especially if you've taken a step back during the pandemic. So this overall, this reset is a psychological event as well as a financial one. That's why you, like in this illustration I provided in the article, people say, I do not have a plan when to retire. 37% of these people that were polled. 37% said they do not have a plan. Why? Because Wall Street, one, has made them feel helpless and hopeless. Because Wall Street says you need $10 million or some other impossible number you're never going to hit. It's like someone who's trying to lose weight, right? Yo, yeah, no, you know, you're going to have 4% body fat in 6 months. Okay, great. What am I going to, give me a burger, right? It doesn't work.
I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah. So why consider a plan? Why do I have to even have a plan when I retire? Because I can't make it. It's how I used to feel about annual physicals. Like if I don't have the information, I won't make a change. Like I know I'm eating bad. I know I'm doing all this stuff wrong. But, you know, why even?
Why bother?
And it wasn't good. And then I said, okay, I'm going to embrace it now. I'm going to go over this hurdle. And I'm going to change. I'm going to change things. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But it's much better. Because I now embrace the information and I've made it work for me. And then that first step is a big one. And it hurts. But I'm telling you, do a plan. Be realistic. It's very, very important. Formal financial planning sometimes does not feel good because you feel like you're going to get scolded or you're going to be told you can't make it. And listen, our job is to help you make it. To have the prettiest block of clay we can mold for you financially, we can, with your help. With your help. It's such an art, isn't it? Danny, it's not just numbers. It's such an art to put this together.
Well, it is. There's so many moving parts. I think a lot of people feel like it's very definitive and this is finalized. And we have to do this. And that's not the case at all. You know, I tell people, look, we're consultants. We're going to walk side by side with you and give you some ideas that maybe you haven't thought of or ways to save money. I mean, there's so many little things within a plan that, you know, by seeing this and doing this, living and breathing it every single day, there's an advantage to it. And a lot of the things in this are very psychological, even more so than financial sometimes. You know, even we worry about the financial aspect so many times, but we forget about the qualitative. And many times that qualitative drives the quantitative in the sense that it's going to help dictate where you spend money, how you do things, what's your relationship with money, and not just you, but your spouse. I mean, how many times do we see that you have two separate, completely separate relationships, and it's so out of whack within a household that it makes it difficult to do a plan? Because there may be no plan, no budget, no idea what they're doing, where they're going. But at the end of the day, especially once you get into retirement and you start to reinvent yourself, you know, we talk about this a lot on our Retirement Right Lane classes, which, like you said, hopefully get back in person soon. These are things that are extremely important to do because this is going to help dictate the rest of your life as far as what's going on, how you're going to do it, and how you're going to accomplish it. And so we can set these goals. And we can also set some time frames with each one of these as well.
Listen, sometimes you got to get the dust bunnies out of your head when it comes to this stuff and stop listening to your friends, stop watching financial TV, you know, about all the stuff you need to do. And you know, and you're not going to travel to Sicily every year. You know, you're just not. Okay. What? You know, they show all these people on their yachts, and people go, well, you know, that's what I want my retirement to look like.
On a boat in Venice.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day of their life, but it's every day in.
You got a bathtub? Yeah. I still have my plastic boats from when I was a kid. I'll send you one. All right. So tomorrow, we have our can of coffee. Can of coffee is Danny and I sitting across the table with you to make good decisions. And it's about financial spring cleaning. It's the financial clutter getting in your way. It's the stuff you don't want to do. The nooks and crannies of things you just don't want to do because they're boring. But they need to be done. You know, like you don't want to clean the blinds. You don't want to clean under the bed. Especially when my dogs throw up under there. You don't want to do any of this stuff. But you do it. And then you feel good for doing it. So tomorrow, we're gonna field questions. This is live, 8 to 9 a.m. before you start your day. You go to Real Investment Advice. It's a GoToWebinar event. Register. We've got a lot of people coming to this. And Danny and I are just going to give you some big picture stuff of things that will make you feel good about financial spring cleaning. Make you, you know, things that you just hate to do that we're going to try to help you understand it's good to do. Right?
I think it's great to do, but I think it's one of the things that everyone dreads. You can ask my wife some of these things that are difficult, you know, throwing out the old
files.
Well,
we know Michelle loves to clean because when we're on conference calls, she's running the vacuum. And that's fine. It's great because I'm a fan of the lines in the carpet.
She's got to use her Christmas gift, I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is a good note to end.
Oh,
all right, man. Tomorrow, financial spring cleaning on Canada Coffee. Lance back next week. Hope you all have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us today on The Real Investment Show. We so appreciate you.
Get daily investment news you can use. Delivered at the speed of the internet.
Sign up for the Real Investment Report now at realinvestmentadvice.com.
It's a rich man's world.